From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 622, Azure Update with guest Corey Sanders, recorded Monday, September 22nd, 2018. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. And I'm starting off my day recording today. My friend Corey Sanders, I have a very old bio from him.
Woo-hoo!
Went back when he was a director of program management responsible for the business of compute in the Azure team. You've had a couple of promotions since then.
Yeah, I mean, well, all that really matters is the customer. No, sorry. what were we talking about? All that really matters is the stuff that I own.
Yeah.
We don't care about titles.
No.
But compute management, there's a whole bunch of cool stuff now that's in my team. So
sure.
Yeah, having a good time. You want me to walk through it? I can walk through it in detail. You tell me.
Let's do that. I got to read you this comment from your last show. So we did a show together.
Okay, sorry. Okay, I'll relax.
And, oh, sure. I can tell you're really nervous, Corey. Vice President Corey Sanders. That last show we did in February 2017 was called Scaling in the Cloud, which, you know, kind of makes sense because you can scale in the cloud. It was just a question of what technologies. And at that time, scale sets were brand new, right? And so we got a chance to talk about this. And here's a comment from Jim Sefton. Again, this is 2 years ago, where he said, this is a fascinating discussion on service fabric and containers. Where I'm stuck at the moment is how to decide whether an app should be a pure app or if it should be in a container. I don't know if it's unpure if it's in a container. That's weird.
That it is unpure. It's been sullied.
Yes. Web API seems perfect for Azure apps, and Windows services seem to, although I've yet to try it, fit into web jobs. So I always feel that it's possible that the app solution is best. Saying that, you say that soon containers will be everywhere. I get that from a cross-platform perspective, but in the world of Azure, is that the case? Microsoft seems to be providing millions of different ways of skinning the cat. Gross. But little guidance in which solution is best for specific scenarios. Service Fabric seems to be a great idea, although it seems a bit clunky. Things like adding nodes are not possible in the UI or even setting autoscale. I guess it'll improve over time, though. It just doesn't feel production ready at the moment. Now, admittedly, that was a 2-year-old comment, so it's a little unfair for Jim that he's complaining about the way Service Fabric was in beginning of 2017. I'm sure all of that's evolved.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is kind of interesting. I think there's a few things that probably that have happened that I probably would call out. One, we released a product called specifically focusing in on Service Fabric. We released a product called Service Fabric Mesh, which is basically a serverless product for Service Fabric. And this makes pretty much all of those kind of issues and problems and challenges of scaling and so on and so forth go away, right? We sort of take care of it for the customer behind the scenes. So that's kind of one important thing to call out. And I know we spent a lot of time talking about Service Fabric that last time.
Sure.
But I think perhaps more important or sort of a pretty critical in this conversation is the progression that we've seen from Kubernetes and from the Azure Kubernetes Service.
Sort of the dominance of Kubernetes as an orchestration engine.
Yeah, you know, I think it's pretty clear that this is the community's choice. And I think one of the beautiful things about working with a larger community, one of the beautiful things about working in open source, is that the broader community makes these decisions, right? And we can have an influence and we can be a part of that decision making process, which we are.
Right.
But I think, and this is something with Kubernetes, you know, we've been obviously deeply involved with Kubernetes for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a managed service now on Azure for a long time as well. And we've seen it is growing, what's a nice PC way of saying growing fast. I was going to say like wildfire, but that I feel like it's just, there's too many actual wildfires in the world to say that. So now I've gone into too much detail on it and it's awkward. It's growing fast.
And Brendan Burns now works for Microsoft as well.
You got it. Yeah. So Brendan's there. Gabe Monroe is there actually, who was the CTO for, Deus, and then we acquired Deus, which was, of course, primarily a Kubernetes company. company focused on tooling and experiences.
Right.
So a lot of cool things actually have come out of this, including things like Brigade,
Helm,
and Helm. Yeah, Helm's a pretty big one. Open source projects, and in fact, Helm, we actually just donated to the CNCF. So these are, you know, projects going to the community and expanding hopefully the overall usage pattern.
Well, it is all about the tooling, right? Like just being able to have the tools that make it trivial for us as operators to be able to handle containers.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think this is one of the sort of the interesting things about Kubernetes. Love the capabilities of Kubernetes, the power of deploying fast containers in an orchestrated and clean way, being able to manage them, auto healing, all these sorts of auto scaling, all these sorts of cool things. But for those who are coming from a lot of other places, should not expect a full PaaS environment, right? It really is, you know, when I talk about Kubernetes and even managed Kubernetes, it's closer to infrastructure than it is to PaaS.
Sure.
At this stage.
Yeah.
Right. Now there's certainly things you can layer on top, and there's community engagements to layer solutions on top, service meshes and packaging tooling and experiences that make it easier to use, easier to deploy. But, you know, if you're coming from a PaaS world, whether it's a Microsoft PaaS or, you know, another PaaS solution, there will be things that you will notice when you use Kubernetes, that you will wish you had. And from my perspective, I think it's just a matter of time before those things get layered on and get Sure. added and get supported. So that's the progression since the last time we talked. And this is where, you know, I would say AKS, our managed Kubernetes service has been just, an amazingly fast growth, and really exciting service to be a part of. More exciting even than VMs, if you can believe that, Richard.
That's hard to imagine, Corey. And let me just close out for Jim. Thank you so much for your comment. A Run As Radio mug is on its way to you. And if you'd like a Run As Radio mug, write a comment on the website at runasradio.com or on any of the social media, because we publish every show to Facebook and LinkedIn. If you comment there and I read it on the show, I'll send you a Run As Radio mug. And I'm pretty sure I've sent you one too, Corey.
You have, yeah. I wish you, I'm drinking from it now.
Think you're lying, because I know you're on the road, but...
Yeah, that's true. I carry it everywhere I go.
I had another.
Hey, so did Jim not get that mug until, because he made that comment like
2 years ago,
right?
Yeah, that's only when I read it. So he still hasn't gotten it.
Oh my god! So he's been waiting for this freaking mug.
It's not the first comment he's written either. So it's you know, I don't get to read them all, but he'll get one. It's getting there. They're good mugs.
I don't want to question the way you do things, but I don't like the way you do things.
I'm pretty sure you're questioning.
Let me just put that out there. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
this show has gotten off track. No.
So, you know, we haven't booyahed in like the first 10 minutes of the show. We're kicking it.
No, I've been holding back. Well, we don't have any red wine. Well, I don't have any red wine in front of me. Yeah. You may.
No. Drinking tea this morning. So I'm contained so far. We'll do the best we can. This conversation about containers, as I understand it, the serverless implementation under the hood is containers. Am I crazy? Is that actually how it works?
Yeah, I mean, it's containers or container-like capabilities.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, and this is where, in fact, with Azure Functions, you can even create a function,
right,
which is our serverless compute offering, and run it as a container anywhere. So yeah, I mean, you know, containers are a building block that is going to permeate everywhere, absolutely. And pretty much all compute services now on Azure have container-based support. You know, App Service has container-based support. Service Fabric has container-based support, so on and so forth. So, you know, it's all possible anywhere as building blocks to move forward.
And getting back to Jim's comment, it's sort of like you're not adulterating an app by putting it into containers. You're giving it a strategy that allows it to scale.
That's right, and mobile and agile.
Right.
You know, let me take all of the key terms that I'm supposed to say in this conversation.
Nice.
Agile.
But when you say mobile, you mean portable? Like I can move it to
portable.
Different...
Portable. Right. I did mean portable. You're right. That was a misspeak. I apologize to you.
I do like Azure Kubernetes service, but I also like running stuff on-prem too. So the fact that once I have this infrastructure in place, I can run it either way. That's pretty cool.
It is. And here's where I think it's going to, you know, and we talked a little bit about it before, but this is what's, I think, going to truly continue to dominate, and and why containers will just be the answer, whether it's with something like Azure Kubernetes Service, something higher level on top of Azure Kubernetes Service, whether it's on-prem, whether it's another cloud altogether. All of the dev tooling is becoming basically defaulting to container-based creation and deployment. And that's not just things like Visual Studio and VS Code, where you take code and you containerize it automatically right inside the IDE, but
right.
It's actually the full DevOps experience end-to-end, where it's build, where it's test, where it's deploy. You know, all of these aspects are basically taking containers as a assumed component sort of baseline. And that core component is what then everything builds on top of. And that's where then even things like compliance are going to come in, right? Signing containers, making sure that containers are the exact one that the developer said is the good one,
right?
Making sure. So this is we've done this historically with binaries and versioning and hashes and blah blah blah. Containers now are going to offer a much simpler approach, and so this is why I like packaging like Helm and then packaging even like CNAB. I think it's going to be super valuable to sort of continue to standardize up with these applications.
It sort of speaks to me this idea that, you know, you talk about certification, that I may be able to get to a point where I have certified templates for certain aspects of my software that then simplify my audit for qualifying for, yes, this is an end-to-end secure solution. This, you know, passes the credit card test, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that, we're going to get to a point where this becomes sort of the core element, but then the applications are going to build more complexity around it.
Right.
As more and more folks use it. Because we start thinking like ISVs start building all of their applications that they're going to then sell through marketplaces using containers. Like, none of that is really set up big.
Right.
Single containers, not many apps use single containers. This is where CNAB is going to be super powerful as well. So I think we're going to see, we are, if you sort of look at the grand scheme of where VMs went from year one to year, whatever we're in 20, we are in year two of containers. Pretty nuts.
And we've moved awfully fast. Like, I do think the timing of your old show and Jim's comment was just like, that was right at the beginning of Microsoft taking containers seriously. And look how far we've come in 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's become the standard, and even Kubernetes has moved to become the standard. I mean, just the pace that we are moving in the entire community is exciting. I mean, it is really changing the way applications are built and delivered. And I think it's a great time to be a developer, right? It's a great time to be in the business of software, whether, you sort of get to enjoy on the cloud delivery side like me, or whether you're building apps that are being deployed into the cloud. It's an awesome time to be in software. I think
I totally agree. At the same time, we have the security threat. So I like the idea for me, as an operations guy, looking at moving to the cloud, saying, hey, I don't need to own the OS anymore. They're going to keep it patched and secure. If I can get some standardized secure templates for a lot of these containers, for a lot of these services, I'm just offloading the security footprint that I'm responsible for, that somebody else is keeping an eye on a lot of these bits.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that, what's interesting is that, and I was just having another conversation with someone about this morning, security is such a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what makes it both kind of an interesting area, but also certainly a super scary area, where, the bad guys are never staying stagnant.
No.
Right?
They're always looking for something new, too.
But exactly. And this is where actually one of the biggest points when it comes to cloud, and when it comes to the sort of the top clouds and the companies that sort of run those clouds, the good guys, presumably the people running these environments and running these solutions and platforms, are also never staying stagnant,
right.
And so this is where the value of having these pockets of really talented engineers, and I like to think of myself as a talented engineer, but I pretty much just play one on television or radio, as it were. When I talk to some of our security experts, like those guys are super 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 smart, super talented, just unbelievable. And I just every day I'm like thankful. I'm like that they're on my side.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
This is where I do think this is where actually I do think the value of pooling that the cloud creates. It's not just an infrastructure pooling play. It's actually a talent pooling play that you know, we can hire hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these super, super smart security engineers that are going to allow us to continue to stay ahead. And this is not something I'd say, you know, I don't want to go after any of my competitors on this because it's a similar sort of story. And this is why I do think the cloud in general will actually be a more secure place for customers.
There has been stories in the news here of how the major cloud players are sharing knowledge about security issues that you guys are. I think the advantage of being the white hat here is you get to work together and share and be public about it, where the black hats have to stay in the shadows.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we all kind of identified that there's no benefit to any cloud provider having security issues. I mean, it's bad for all of us.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, and there's just, there is a, like you said, sort of a white hat community thing where the greater good is the most important thing.
Right.
And so this is where sort of working really closely together, understanding, because, you know, one of the most interesting things about security, is this concept called variance. You know, that security issues that are discovered, whether they're reported, in a responsible way. But there's, you know, there's always these sort of secondary issues that need to be figured out and discovered. And that is really where sort of the partnership and the broad engagement is so powerful.
Awesome. And Corey, give me one moment here for this very important message. And we're back. Richard Campbell here on Run As Radio with Vice President Corey Sanders. Microsoft, Azure, Compute, and all the good stuff going on. You mentioned Azure Service Fabric Mesh right off the bat as a great tool for making life a little easier for working within Service Fabric. Are there other things to talk about in the Service Fabric context? I still think people are trying to figure out how all these different pieces fit together.
You know what? I'd probably say some of the services, because I as sort of more of the services have moved into my team. You know, some of the services that I sort of see people pulling together into sort of interesting broader application models. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we talked a lot about AKS, right? We talked a lot about Kubernetes Service, but as we also talked about, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit closer to infrastructure than PaaS services. When you sort of go up the stack from there, some of the PaaS services that we've seen actually quite a bit of excitement and usage on, sort of two to call out maybe, and then I'll talk a little bit more about Service Fabric as well, App Service, which is really focused on sort of web-based experiences, whether they actually be websites or whether they be sort of web endpoints that you leverage either internally or externally. This is actually one of the largest services in Azure. Very PaaS experience, built with sort of deep web experiences built right in, whether there be like Node or obviously .NET, ASP.NET, etc. This service is really a fantastic PaaS service that I see people now building as sort of a front end to their services. Similar, we talked a little bit about Functions, offering sort of serverless experiences for either running jobs, short-term jobs, or sort of even longer-term jobs that you can run with something called durable functions. Mm-hmm. That sort of allow you to run through loops of functions. But this offers, again, a lot of sort of event-driven parts of your code to run. And the reason why I call these out is that these offer really great sort of front-end experiences or sort of helper experiences to applications. And then perhaps back-ends are either data services or running things like on top of Azure Kubernetes Service, right, as a Kubernetes runtime, or on top of Service Fabric as sort of the back-end for sort of those back-end parts of those jobs, those middleware parts of those applications. So that's how a lot of the layering of applications are starting to take shape. And we're really starting to see a lot of customers combine these things, right? Putting an app service in with AKS below, with then, you know, SQL MI or Cosmos DB behind, and sort of that being the app, or put Service Fabric in instead of AKS, or put, you know, even Functions as sort of your front end experience with, you know, with an API gateway, and then put, you know, again, Cosmos or MySQL or Postgres in the back end. So that's sort of the tiering of the application. I don't know if I answered your question in a lot more depth than I think maybe you wanted. But,
no, I totally appreciate that. And also, I like your thinking, and certainly it's a conversation we've had on .NET Rocks as well, that the dev crowd is recognizing, hey, I may migrate this brownfield app into Service Fabric or even into containers, but as I hit a piece of the app that I'm struggling to scale or that it's particularly contentious, I might spin it out as a separate function so that I can watch it and bill it independently. I can sort of see it by itself. And functions happen to have sort of the least painful scaling options you can imagine.
Yes, exactly. I mean, with zero scaling challenge, right? I mean, with functions, it's just that the whole point of the service is that there is no scaling. It just runs, right?
It just runs. It doesn't matter how many requests, it keeps running. You know, and you could see very clearly as demand goes up, it just takes care of itself. You don't have to do anything.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep, that's exactly right. And now here's one cool thing. Mm-hmm. That you may not know or you're waiting for me to explain. One of the things that we added with AKS, just recently, actually, is something called virtual node. And this is effectively a serverless Kubernetes. And so what this means is we basically invented this concept called the Azure Container Instance, right? And we were the first ones to do something like this, where it was effectively, you know, think of it like just infrastructure, but for a container versus a VM,
right?
It was not an orchestrator. You couldn't deploy more than one. You couldn't sort of place them or anything, but it was basically serverless containers, right? Was sort of the idea. And what we've done now is we've now wired that in deeply with our Azure Kubernetes service. So with a little click of a button when you're creating your cluster, you can now automatically scale your Kubernetes-based deployment using the standard community-driven Kubernetes API, right, fully upstream. And behind the scenes, we're spinning up these container instances on your behalf instantaneously such that you don't need to worry about VMs or placement or any of that nonsense, right? And so you use this community-driven open source solution, but with a backend that's fully serverless. And again, similar to your point, you don't need to worry about how many have you deployed and are you going to fill up your nodes and are you auto scaling properly and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's all completely taken care of for you. So it's bringing a little bit of that PaaS love to the Kubernetes experience.
There's folks who have had that experience where they're literally sitting on the portal, watching an app on the weekend, wondering, should I add more nodes?
That's right, because I have to pay for them.
Yeah, because they cost me money, and I'm trying to optimize. You know, I'm trying to be right here. I just want to make, and I'm looking at average response times. You know, I've got my instrumentation running, and I'm trying to get a sense of, is everybody having a great experience on my app or not? Or should I just launch some more nodes? So anytime I can get a feature that you're just going to launch the nodes because they were needed. Because that's all I'd end up saying to my boss anyway when he says, why was the bill higher for last weekend? It's like, because more people came to the site? You know, like it's... That's the right reason.
That's right. And typically you can quantify that.
It should be revenue based.
If you're not able to sort of, if you're not able to point to it, then it becomes, I made a mistake. Exactly. Right. I mean, I think that, I think the expectation of asking people to guess, should really disappear.
Sure. I think another aspect that, that operators are generally struggling with when it comes to this suite of things, these Kubernetes options, the Service Fabric options, the serverless options is how do I measure this? What is the instrumentation across all these different things? Like I've only just sort of got a handle on my on-premises stuff. I think folks are still wrestling with what's the right way to observe an operating app running on in the cloud.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, I think this is where having the right monitoring, logging, and implement and sort of runtime aspects of the application fully understood.
Right.
And this is, you know, I think especially in this sort of modern 24/7, nothing ever is allowed to go down world, which is a great world. I love it. That sort of need to be able to monitor, that need to be able to log properly. So your services is built into Azure that enable that, but then also third-party services, folks like Datadog or New Relic, that allow you to take advantage of sort of broader views of your application. So critical. They're so critical to get right and to understand, because if you're using services that do not have that auto-scaling functionality, or even if you are, but you want to understand the intricacies of different microservices talking to each other. This complexity goes up as more services are used, and certainly you want to use more services because they have a lot of cool power, but you need to be able to monitor and track it and debug it. And so this is a new world for us, I think, for those reasons.
Isn't everything we need sitting in Azure Monitor now? Isn't that a one-stop shop, or is there still places for Datadog and New Relic?
No, absolutely. So, there's two things I'll say. Azure Monitor, one-stop shop for being able to monitor, do log tracking, do sort of code-based monitoring and infrastructure-based monitoring. It's now all integrated into one experience, which is super important. Candidly, as I'm sure you know, wasn't always the case. It was a set of different experiences in the past. It's now been integrated all together, which is great. Single view. It's growing like crazy. I mean, people love it. Certainly lots of areas to improve as there is in all of our services.
Sure.
But people love it. But having said all of that, the partner solutions are also very powerful for a few reasons. One, certainly multi-cloud and spanning hybrid. There's opportunities to do sort of broader views across your application portfolio, that may be helpful by using some of those partner solutions. And there's also depth from those partner solutions that we may not have added yet as part of Azure Monitor, right? And so, there's a lot of great stuff coming out of those teams as well. So, this is where I always, when I always think of our solutions and partner solutions and pretty much all of the areas that we work really closely with those partners to say, hey, here's where we're going, here's where we're going. Here's the white space above where there's more value that you can add or more uniqueness or more special casing that you can put in. And certainly the multi-cloud hybrid story is always going to be an opportunity. So it's a little bit of both.
Lots of space for everybody to play in there. But
that's right. That's right.
You definitely want to get started on the Azure Monitor side. I think it's the one thing that I appreciate is that when you declare something as part of an app, it doesn't matter if it's in a VM or it's in a container or it's running on Service Fabric or it's running as a bunch of logic apps or serverless pieces, they show up in the same instrument.
That's right. The same view, and you can do log analytics against it across the board. Yep. It's fantastic. Yeah.
It's easy to forget how hard that was to do on our own not that long ago.
Yes. Yes. But that's one of the beautiful things about platform development, isn't it? Things that you sort of did on your own that were really hard in a lot of different ways, you just assume and start expecting because a platform is there to offer it. And then, garbage collecting for .NET.
Yeah.
you used to have to worry about your own memory.
Yes, you did.
But now it's like ridiculous that you would ever worry about your own memory, right?
And if you're going to write your own garbage collector, everybody looked at you like you were crazy.
That's right.
Even then, now even more so. But I do like this general movement we're having towards more service-based pieces where it's like, that's plumbing, don't own it. Get a bill by the minute for it. And just focus on what's actually the unique offering for you. So what's next for you, friend? I know you're traveling. Are we going to see you at a show somewhere? Is some good announcements coming up?
I mean, always good announcements coming up. Mm-hmm. I think, without revealing any announcements or any sort of things coming up, certainly some cool stuff continuing to come here on the container side. I think you're going to see more and more come out of that, both on the Kubernetes side. One of the areas that we've got a lot of investment in thinking is on Edge as well. So this is, and when we didn't talk too much about it, I'm involved, but the Edge IoT stuff is really taking off. It's very, very exciting.
And you're not talking about Edge the browser. You're talking about the IoT services on the Edge.
Yeah, good clarification. Thank you. Yes, I am. Running things on the edge of the cloud is maybe what I should say.
Well, believe me, I'm all over getting a show about Edge the browser running Chromium, but that's not today's show.
That's not today's show, and I don't know anything about that.
You're better off.
I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that.
I'm glad someone knows something about it, but yeah. Yeah, so I think that stuff's going to continue to be hot. And obviously, the next big show that we've got coming up here, we're in the new year, is Build, right? Mm-hmm. So that should be around the corner, and you should expect a whole bunch of cool development stuff. I'm really excited about some of the things I'm seeing come out sort of around the GitHub and the Azure DevOps conversations. I think that they've got some really cool things that they're working through. So I'm pretty jazzed about the future of developer experiences and developer tooling. It's not in my area of ownership, but I think it's gonna really change the way people develop on our platform. So, and other platforms, you can develop anywhere. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
It is very much a fun time. One booyah for old time's sake.
Well, I mean, for you, let's a booyah this this event.
Booyah!
And will I see you? Will I see you at Build World?
Oh, you know, I'll be. I expect I'll be running the podcasting space as per usual, bringing you new friends to talk to.
Okay, well, you know, if you need if I need a friend, then maybe I'll stop by and you can let me talk on your show again.
I'll keep a bottle of red wine stashed somewhere, I guarantee it.
Always. That's critical for me.
Mr. Sanders, thanks so much for coming back on Run As.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun, and hopefully you enjoyed hearing my voice because I pretty much just talked nonstop.
That's what I was looking for, friend. That's absolutely what I was looking for. They've heard me. They need to hear from you.
That's right. Well, thank you for having me, and always a pleasure to come on.
You bet. And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.